All right, how's it going, David?
It's going good, Chase.
Good, man, good. So I'm here today with Mr. David Williamson, current CRUSA points leader and potentially the CRUSA points champion up and coming, huh?
Yes, that's what we're headed
that's
for.
That's what you're looking for.
Yeah, that's what we're looking for.
Well, good deal. So this is going to be episode number 3 of Off the Gas and On the Mic with Chase Holland.
You're listening to Off the Gas and On the Mic with Chase Holland.
We had Chase Cooper on episode 2 talking about his past experience with the points and his strategies and stuff like that and how he was able to capture it. So I'm going to go through some of that stuff with you. Let's start here. Who is David Williamson?
I'm 31 years old from Seminary, Mississippi. Grew up there. I've been racing about 10 years total, about 6 years now full-time. My dad raced, so that's kind of...
What he raced?
He started out in pro stocks when he used to be the big tired street stocks, essentially.
Right.
And then he raced like a limited late model, and then before he quit racing, he was racing super late model.
Okay.
And I think he quit around 2005 or so, and then he's helped me since, and bought me my first car, first street stock. That's how we started, and so here we are today.
Well, one of my questions before we get too deep into it was Ford versus Chevy. I know when you ran the street stock division, you had a Ford engine. What's your take? If you could have either, where are you going?
Oh, I'm a Ford man.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
My dad's always a Ford man, so I guess you grow up being in a Ford family, and I had good luck with them. And if I had a preference, Ford, but at the end of the day, I love to race.
Okay.
So if I had to race a Dodge or a Toyota, whatever it may be, if I get to go around a circle on a dirt track. Then,
whatever's
then,
winning
yes,
races.
I'm yeah. happy, so.
Well, good deal. Well, tell us about your business. When did you start it, and what exactly do you do?
All right, so I started it last November. I've always done construction work pretty much since high school, like highway construction.
Okay.
Worked with the same company for about 13 and a half years, worked through college with them. Very good people, very, very, very thankful for all of them still. It was just at the point where I felt like I was ready to kind of go out on my own, because at the end of the day, you got to take the risk for the reward.
That's
and
right.
If you just want to be an employee, then there's nothing wrong with that. But I just felt like it was time to go on my own and give it a try. So I'm still going to be in the same line of work.
Right.
We're going to do excavation. I don't know what all yet. We're starting out with that. We do clearing work, excavation, dirt work, putting in concrete pipe. We do concrete. So just kind of broad at the moment.
Okay.
And that's where we're going to start for now, and then we're going to see where it goes.
Well, cool. And when did you say you started that? I might have missed that.
Last November, November okay. of 23.
Last November.
Yeah.
Okay. So one of my questions about that is, what is one of the coolest things that you've done since you've been in business so far?
So, like I said, I'm pretty much doing the same stuff, so I really hadn't done nothing different. But I really enjoy being self-employed.
Okay.
Because like I told Todd Turner in the Dirt on Dirt interview, like if I need a Friday, like if it's crucial, I've got to work on my car this Friday right. to go race. And nothing dire has to be done, then I can take the day off and don't have to ask anybody.
Right.
Now, yeah, it don't always work like that. Sometimes, you know, you have to put finances before the hobbies. But the majority of the time, if I need a Friday off to go race somewhere, then I can get it now. And I could get off before, but it's like I don't have to
pulling
ask somebody
strings,
now.
Yeah.
Yes, I don't have to, like, the stars don't have to align to actually
right.
get off, because in construction, stuff happens. You know, if you have equipment broke down in the middle of the highway, then you're there till you get it out of the highway, because you have
right.
to open it back up. So, and I've missed a lot of Friday races because of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the, I guess, the cool thing
that's
about
the
it
cool
at this
thing
point.
About it.
Second
yeah.
cool thing is we've actually just got two jobs under contract, and it's just cool to like know that it's like me now. Like
right.
I've been the employee part of the company, but now it's me.
Right.
And now I'm like, it's a lot of responsibility, but then again, it's like, you know, if everything goes right, we work hard, we do the job right, then I get the reward at that point. So that's the pretty cool part about it.
Well, that's awesome. That's awesome. I hope it is really successful for you.
Yes, I hope so.
So what made you want to run for points?
I didn't.
Okay, okay.
I'm not a points guy. I like to race when I want to race, and not when I have to race. And with the crate racing format, you have to race because obviously there's like four of us right now that can still win the points. And so if I take off, then you or Chris Mack or Shannon, y'all are going to be racing somewhere.
Yep.
If not one, all of you, you know.
Right.
So it's not like you're just racing against one other person. That's just so.
I guess this leads me into my next question of that. It kind of happened that way. I read some of your Dirt on Dirt interview, and I don't want to completely ask the same questions, but from what I read of that, you had so much success right there early that it kind of was like too good not to go after.
Yes, I think we ran sixth in the points last year, and that was just, it wasn't by chasing them. We just ran good toward the end of the year. Didn't run great. I think we won two races last year, but had a lot of top fives. And so we actually went to Europe in May of this year. Missed 3 weeks of racing season there. And so like I wasn't focusing on points. Yeah. And then like I told Todd, you know, when we came back, I think I won four races in a row at Hattiesburg, and like 5 out of 6 weeks we won races. And then, you know, there we were in like first or second for a little while. And I'm we'll keep racing, and then I won a few more after that, and then so it's like, okay, now we're points racing. So
what made you guys want to go to Europe, if you don't mind me asking? How was that?
We enjoyed it. It was our second time going, and we really like to travel a lot, so then that's why I say I don't like points racing.
Right.
Because if we want to go on a cruise and just say next week, I can't now.
Right.
So ever since we got married, we've traveled.
Okay.
And it's kind of a second hobby, and we both enjoy it. So,
that's cool.
Trying to see the world before we have kids and all.
Yeah, that's something I've always wanted to do, is travel outside of the United States. You know, I feel like we've got a really good country, but I've always wondered what it's like, you know, elsewhere for sure. So.
Well, and that's why we're trying to do it before we have kids, because we're like, when we have kids, we can buy a motorhome and like drive everywhere in the U.S.
Yep.
But like when you start talking about like flying 15 hours, that's going to be hard to do with a kid.
Right, so. And hard on them for
sure.
Yes,
yep. For sure.
I totally understand that. Well, that's awesome. I think that's really cool. And I find it very interesting that you guys weren't, you know, buckled down to the point to just kind of, you know, started aligning like that. So that's really neat.
Yeah.
Well, along the lines of that, what are some of the challenges you faced thus far throughout the season, and are there any rivalries or is there any bad blood throughout?
So, I guess some challenges is, like, I guess racing against fast cars like you, Chris McElhaney, Shannon. So there's, you know, it's kind of, over the years, the national points title has been given like a term of just perfect attendance award, championship, whatever, but I completely disagree with that because Mississippi has the toughest competition.
It does.
In any class you want to talk about, I mean, Mississippi guys can go anywhere and be competitive, and out-of-state guys can come here and win, but they're going to have to run against the local guy.
Right.
And so to me, every week you're racing against competitive cars, and so that's been a challenge. I mean, it's hard to win races.
Right.
And especially, we're all on a 604 engine.
Yep.
All of us have equivalently good equipment. And so it comes down to, you know, if you're a half a tenth off, then
that's
all it takes, you know.
Yep.
So as far as rivalries, not really.
Get along pretty good with everybody.
Yeah. I mean, there's been an instance or two where I was mad or whatever. But
right.
It's not like I've got a target on anybody or...
Right, right.
You know, it's just... I learned this year how you have to race people.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a few out there that I'll just have to race them like they've raced me.
Yep.
And
yep.
So But other than just like getting junked or anything this year, no, it's been all good.
Well, that's good. That's a good thing to have, to be able to go out there and race without, you know, being aggressive towards a specific person for,
yes,
for any,
well,
any
it,
kind of reason.
It takes your focus off what you need to be doing. Right. Like, you need to be focusing on the track and what you're doing, and not worrying about trying to retaliate on somebody else. And at the end of the day, as my wife would say, the best way to get back at somebody is just to beat them.
That's
week
right.
in and week out. So
that's right.
I kind of just take that little thought there and go with it, and
yep.
we'll move on. And you know, I've heard Jimmy Owen say it before. He's mad for 30 seconds after something happens, and then
yep.
he's over it. You
right.
know, we're racing tomorrow night somewhere, next week, or
that's
it's
right.
a new day. So
that's right. Well, I like that, and it appears to be working out really well for you.
Yes.
So along the lines of that, what role does your wife play in supporting your racing career, and how do you balance time between racing and spending time with her?
So she's the boss of it all. So she
okay.
she can she helps me like any way possible during the week. She can do anything to the car.
Well, that's good.
Luckily this year we haven't really torn up equipment, so
right.
we can get home on Sundays. Sometimes Sunday, sometimes Monday, get in the car wash, get it in the shop, do some maintenance during the week, and then, you know, toward the end of the week, all we really need to do is change the gear or do a little tire work.
Right.
And luckily, she can do all that. And then it also goes into, I try to spend enough time in the shop to keep up, but it also gives me time to like spend time with her,
right.
and she's busy. She's don't get home like 5 or 6 every day, and
right.
we kind of got a little Thursday night deal. We got a little fish camp close
okay.
by, so we'll go out and eat fish on Thursday night. That's our little Thursday night deal, and so we get to eat supper then, and we always eat supper at night together. And
well, that's awesome.
So we make time for each other.
Good.
For sure.
And I remember last week, you know, you did not race Friday night because you had promised something a year prior to that,
yes.
before you realized you'd be racing for points,
yes.
and you kept your word on that, so I think that's pretty neat for sure.
Yeah, because it was kind of the same deal last year. Is about this time of the year is when I was fourth in the points. I wasn't just chasing the points, but then there was like a month in the season left, and I was like, well, I know I can't win, but I can come out with a top 3 or 4, so I think we I'd missed it to go to Hattiesburg or Baton Rouge, somewhere on a Friday night. And I was like, after that, I was like, I promise you next year I'll
yep.
go. And
yep.
so.
You were there.
I was there, so.
Well, that's good. That's good. I think that's awesome. So I feel like we've covered this. My fifth question was, how do you balance running a successful construction company and competing in the Crate Racing USA late model series? But, you know, you've dabbled on you being your own boss and stuff like that, and then obviously you and your wife working together really hard on your equipment.
Yes.
So
yeah.
I guess my next question would be, how do you prepare for each race, both mentally and physically?
Mentally, going back to grudges. Like,
yeah.
let's don't hold a grudge. Let's
yep.
move on. I try to, I'm very, I want to say picky, on how my race car, like, and my wife can tell you that, like, I have things I want done a certain way.
Yep.
And so that kind of helps me prepare mentally, knowing that, like, I've went through my car.
Right.
I think everything's good.
Yep.
So that's the mental part of it, is just kind of knowing that I should have a good race car tonight. I don't have any grudges. And I'm always nervous like beforehand, but once we get hot lapping and kind of get into the night, then
yep.
I kind of settle in. And what was the second part to your question?
Well, along the lines of that, you know, you talk about your particular about certain things. What are those certain things that, what are you most particular about on your race car? Like what gives you the most peace of mind before you go out there that you've completed?
Who works on it?
Okay.
Like all my friends help. But sometimes, and you know how it is, you get too many hands involved. And so, and my wife's very good about, like, checking behind. Like,
right.
if somebody is helping do something, which I love people to help.
Right, right.
But, like, just putting a tire on, for instance, like,
yep.
some people just don't know. Like, they'll
right.
stick a tire on, put the lug nuts on, and walk off from it. And it's
yep.
it's not like, I'm not going to be mad. I'll be frustrated, but right. It's just like you've got to check.
Yep.
Like, I'm the one in the car, so ultimately it's my responsibility to check everything that's done to the car.
Right.
So I guess that's my picky part. And I like my tires buffed a certain way. I want them grooved a certain way. So that's kind of that part. Okay.
Well, do you have a specific race day routine? Are you superstitious towards anything specifically?
No, I'm not really superstitious. Honestly, I gotta get better about this, but like Saturday mornings for some reason, it's just like when I want to do everything. I'm such an awful procrastinator. So like I said, I'll get the car washed during the week and all that, and it's just like I forget about tire work or right. like stuff like that. And it's just the small things that Carly is the exact opposite. She's a planner. She wants things done in line.
Yep.
Whereas I'm the polar opposite. Like, I want to roll into the track 10 minutes for hot laps, and
right.
and I don't want to. It's just
how it happens.
It usually happens like that. Yep. And so this year has been better, whole lot better. But in the past, like, it was just we've gotten better on being a little more organized and stuff. So and I think that kind of goes back into success too.
Right.
You know, the more you can keep your equipment up and and not trying to rush everything, I think that ultimately,
right,
it shows. So
it definitely breeds success for sure.
Yes.
So, and then on top of that, right there, throughout the night, are you making? And I'm not asking you to tell me, you know, what you're moving and doing, but are you making several adjustments on your car mechanically, or are you adjusting in the seat for the track conditions ahead?
So I think a little bit of both. I'm a slick track person. Like, I want to, that's why Jackson, where we're at, is my favorite racetrack, because I like to drag race down the straightaway, shut it down in the corner, keep the car good and straight, and then drag race again. And that's kind of why I've struggled at the more momentum tracks and tracks that just kind of stay hammered down. I struggle at. Like, that's not my cup of tea. So I feel like I adjust, as tracks get slicker, I adjust better.
Okay.
So, and then to the car, I'm sure your car is the same. These newer cars, you don't have to do a lot. Like,
right.
It's not like the old cars where you drop this bar five holes and raise this bar five holes and put 20 rounds in the left rear. Like, if you did that to my car, like, I would be in the Pearl River, because it would upset it that much. So, mainly, like, I can do a lot with air pressure, you know, dropping the air pressure in the right rear, taking stagger out.
Yep.
We make a few J-bar adjustments.
Okay.
Other than that, I'm not a shock man, so I don't mess with shocks. I've tried it, and it seemed to hurt me more than it helps me,
exactly.
So I kind of just put it where my shock guy says and go with it. So,
yep. Well, that's awesome. That it's interesting to me that you say the same things, because, like, you know, you talk about you're making minor adjustments, small adjustments in that window, and then, like, as far as the shocks go, I find that really funny, because, like, we have two right front packages, and my dad can't stand that we have two right front packages, because I like to change back and forth between them, and he's not a change guy. So,
well, my shock guy, he actually wants me to try, like, a different right front.
Right.
But, like, during points, I'm not.
No.
Because I'm keeping it. And that's what we've talked about. After points, we're going to try stuff.
Yep.
I think there's still a little speed left in the car at places like Why Not and all.
I hope not.
Well,
I hope that's all you got.
But after points, we want to definitely, like, because to me, that's what I've always loved doing. Even when I was in a street stock, you know, I could, not so far as shocks and all, but I love to try stuff. Like,
right.
I love to try to get better each week. And, like, right now you get stuck in a position to where I don't need a bad night.
Right,
like,
exactly.
I need a third place or better night. And so, and, like, we're going back to the how stiff the competition is. If you're a little off, you're in 6th, 7th place. And
exactly.
Then here we are. That's a wasted week for me in points racing. So,
I'm glad you mentioned the points deal. How many more? So, let's do this. How many more races do you have to win to mathematically sum up and seal up the points deal? And then the other thing is, I'm sure we've gotten really good at math, so I can only imagine how it's been for you.
Yeah.
Every week, are you constantly analyzing the points and drawing out the numbers and crunching the numbers on if Shannon Lee wins a certain race, or if we win and you run second, or whatever, if we're here and you're there, tell us, walk us through that.
Okay. So, back to your first part of the question, I think if I win, obviously if I win out, then I would probably win the points. If I win 3 to 4 more races, then I think you, Chris Mack, and Shannon would have to, like, starting tonight, win out the rest of the year.
Yep.
If I don't win out, then who knows? I mean, it's a wild card because we all still have a shot at that. So, and then the second part of your question is, yes, we analyze, like, different scenarios. We've got a list of tracks over the next 6 weeks of, like, everybody that's racing because, I mean, they're starting to get into big race season.
Right.
And that's another thing is, obviously, like, last weekend, if North Alabama wouldn't have raced, the only other track racing was Sonora. With
crucible points, we wouldn't have gotten points.
Right, and even, you know, even if you was, you're going over there against the touring guys.
Right.
And like I said, if I don't finish third or better right now, then it's I'm not benefiting.
Right.
So you kind of have to put all those factors in. Like next weekend, it's up in the air. Like this is my favorite place. I would love to be here for the All American, but Friday night you've got Hattiesburg's going to race. Saturday night you got Baton Rouge and Chatham.
Right.
I'm sure Chatham or I'm not sure. There's several tracks, and so where do I, and I'm still banned about that. Number 9,000, why I don't like points racing, because I may have to miss one of my favorite races, or I may have to at least miss Friday night.
Right.
Up here, and so that's kind of the strategy right now is you know, obviously, we have to keep winning.
Yep.
Because there's three of y'all.
Right.
And y'all are going to win, and there's, you know, there's going to be weekends where none of us are at the same place, or like tonight, I expect us all to be at the same place. So there's going to be weekends where I may win, you may win, Shannon may win, Chris Mack may win. You know, there's going to be weeks that there's 8 different tracks racing, and so.
Yeah.
I'd been stressed about it the last 3 or 4 weeks, like just super stressed. And then I was like, I'm not going to stress anymore because it's taking the fun out.
Right.
At the end of the day, I have to drive my car. I have to keep winning races.
That's
right. So regardless of where y'all may go, or Shannon or Chris Mack, you know, I have to drive my car. I can't drive y'all's car.
That's
y'all
right.
can't drive my car.
That's
so
right.
At the end of the day, if I keep winning races, and like I told Todd Turner, I've had a good year. If I don't win another race, I've had a great year, you know, the best year I've ever had far as, I guess, quality of wins or whatever. If you win, I come shake your hand, tell you good job, and the same with the other two guys.
That's right.
So that's kind of the way I'm looking at it at this point.
Well, so touching on that right there, what do you feel like, so when, like tonight, for example, what is your peace of mind? What do you feel like is your competitive advantage that separates you from us when we're here? You know, that when you're Shannon Lee, you're Chris Mack, we show up, and the other guys that are here, what gives you peace of mind besides your preparation in the shop?
Luckily tonight it's Jackson. So like I said, it's my favorite track.
Yep.
So I guess I don't know what your favorite local track is. I don't know if it's...
Probably Why Not in a modified. I'm terrible there in a late model.
Anyway, like if I rolled into where your favorite track is, you would feel more confident.
Right.
But I don't ever I don't have a confident ego. Like, I'm not just...
Right.
Like, I kind of just try to stay humble and take it all in and enjoy it. But, and Chris Mack's good here.
Yep.
Shannon's won races up here, so... I'm not saying I'm any better than them at this track, but it's just my favorite track.
Right, right.
So in my mind, you know, that kind of helps me have a little peace of mind.
Right.
But until we take a picture at the end of the night, you know, it's because you, even if you have the fastest car don't always win.
That's a fact.
You know, you're one flat away or one broke shock or just,
well, in the crate late model, it's so easy to get behind somebody and you are faster than them, but there's no way around them
except through them,
and you're not wrecking people. So,
that's
the frustrating part. But I feel like that's where I'd say that's your competitive advantage. You're a guy that can lay down a qualifying lap that sits you on the front row. No matter where we're at, you're on the front row, and I think that's half the battle in crate racing.
Well, and going back to that, like, that's greatly improved, because my first year in crates, I was awful at qualifying, because street stocks, we never qualified. Right. I mean, you go to the street stock nationals, you get to qualify, or otherwise, you're drawing a peel, and you're going and racing. Like, you're going to work your way through a heat race for passing points. So, when I first get in the crate late model, I'm like, qualifying ninth every week, and I'm like, I've always been like, had to drive off being judgmental, like, I'm gaining on the car ahead of me, I'm doing good.
Right.
Well, as you know, qualifying, you're by yourself, and you don't know where to lift. Mm-hmm. I don't know how far to run in the corner, so I guess it's just from, you know, second full season in a crate car, just learning how to qualify. And the car's usually good that time of night, so that's helped a lot.
Yeah. Well, that's definitely a place that you beat a lot of guys, for sure. That's where I would say, like we are behind on that compared to you, so for sure on that.
Well, it gets better with time in them, so there you go.
Right. If you capture the Cruza points title, what are you planning to do next?
Well, next year we would like to go run some of the touring series races.
Okay.
So that's always been something I wanted to do. I had decent cars. I never had cars good enough. I was confident to drive 10 hours and go race them. Well, now I do. I mean, we built a new car this year and didn't put a used part on it, you know, and just built it new up from the ground, and I'll still feel good about it next year. We'll go through it this winter and do some maintenance, and I feel confident we can go off 10 hours, and I'm not saying we're going to run good, but I feel like we can go and finish a race, and, you know, that's kind of the mindset, you know, a mental part of, like, I don't want to drive 10 hours and break a transmission or lose a motor, or, you know, because I don't have enough room to haul spare of everything. So we want to go run some touring series races we still want a weekly race to a certain extent, but definitely, and the only way I would run for points if I won them by coincidence, like if we just come out super fast and win 14 races and nobody else does, then cool, we won. But definitely not going to chase points.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
Unless I don't win this year, then...
Then, yeah, going back out.
I can't just, like, quit, so...
Yeah. Well, along the lines of that, I understand you kind of... You did good, and that's why you're ultimately chasing them right now. But what is it in the points that you're chasing? Is it the title? Like, is it the not the recognition, but just on the resume for you that you're a Cruza points champion? Is it the check and the trophy? What is it that's got you so hungry for it?
Well, I mean, I think it's just the I guess the prestige of it. Like, you're a national weekly champion, because it's obviously not the money, because I'm going to spend way more than $10,000 this year trying to chase these points.
Oh,
on
I know.
Tires, fuel, getting there. So, we can't sit here and say it's because, well, I'm aiming for... Now, yes, $10,000 will go a long way for me.
It will.
But am I going to make money? No, not even close. You know, it may end up not counting the cost of the car. It may cost $15,000 to win this $10,000. So I think it's just the point that, you know, you're going to be potentially a national champion.
Right.
The trophy is beautiful. So I'm a trophy type person. I love to see them sitting by my TV, and so that's the bigger part of it. And yes, the $10,000 will be a bonus.
Right. Well, that's a good reason to be in it, for sure.
Yes.
Well, final question, and I'll let you go. I know you got stuff to do, especially if you're a procrastinator, then you got a lot to do before
we get
rolling.
No, actually, that was the good part about this today, is you got me busy today to get up here early. So,
okay.
I was prepared today, so.
I had you proactive, huh?
Luckily, all we have to do is roll the car out, check air pressures, and go hot lap.
Well, good deal. So, I gave you a debriefing on this question. Like I said, I'm trying to put this in all of our podcasts. So, and just as a disclaimer to this, everything happens for a reason, and you're meant to be where you're at in life and everything. But just for me, if there if you could go back to being 21 years old in the exact same environment that you were in, except you have the knowledge and understanding of the things that you do today, would you, or is there anything you would do differently?
So I've been pondering on this, and it's a hard question because, like you said, you know, we're where we're at for a reason.
Right.
As far as like I would like to started my business like a little earlier in life. Like if I could go back and do anything different, I went to college. I haven't really used my degree, but I felt like my experiences in college was, looking back, was worth going to college, and I have my degree to use. I can go use it if things got bad enough. So I don't want to say I wouldn't have went to college, but if I didn't know like I was going to make those memories with the people I did, then I would say, you know, I'd have come out of high school, went to my job and worked 5 or 6 years, whatever, and then started my business at, you know, mid-20s.
Okay.
Instead of 31 or 30, whatever I was last year. So I could, anything else, like I couldn't change it.
Yeah.
So everything, you kind of, you know, I lost my mom in 2018. She had cancer. And if you go back, you could always want to spend more time with family and all. And I think that's a big one. Like, you always look back and we take things for granted. So, that'd probably be another thing. Spend more time with family that we don't have here anymore, and that's, as far as anything else, I'm happy in life and everything's going good, and we're blessed by the Lord. So,
well, that's good, man. Well, that's two really good things, and I really appreciate your time. And
yes, I really enjoyed it.
We look forward to seeing how tonight goes.
Yeah, I just hope we have a good night. That's all we can hope for.
So, well, thank you, David.
I appreciate it, Chase.
Thank you for listening to Off the Gas and On the Mic with Chase Holland. What'd you think about what you heard? Please follow for more content just like this.